much about. You gotta put it in the
perspective. Okay. I see I gotta make you a believer, young man. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Let me know. Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready?
I don't think
so. Are you ready?
Oh, sure.
Coming at you.
Okay.
Coming quick.
Okay.
Blah!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hop in, Frankenstein. Let's get you out of here.
I think what you're trying to say is Frankenstein's monster.
What?
I think you mean to call me Frankenstein's monster because Frankenstein is...
Oh, you're one of those guys, huh?
No, I'm just... the doctor's name is Frankenstein.
I know. It's just an annoying thing to point out. If you want people to like you, just go along with what they say and have fun.
Amen to that. And now,
everybody is very psyched.
You know who else is psyched? I'll give you a hint. They have four thumbs, and they are these two guys.
I am very excited.
I am giddy.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 30th of April.
Boop-dee-doo-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
Come on.
Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
What are we doing?
Scoop-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop.
No, but seriously, what are we doing?
Whoop scoop.
Poop.
How is... How... What?
Scoop-dee-dee-what?
No.
Whoop-dee-dee-scoop.
Isn't he the greatest rapper of our generation? Isn't that what we've been told?
Best song ever, right there.
Of course you would.
Best song
Kevin,
ever.
Don't, I'll walk out of here again.
Don't do it,
Best.
No.
Don't
God damn it.
Best song ever.
Why do you enjoy being trolled?
I don't know. It's fun.
Poop-diddy, scoop-diddy is something he says.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh.
I mean, I don't love it in the way that I love Rage Against the Machine, where they actually do music.
Right.
But I love it because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just, but isn't it a colossal waste of everybody's time?
I enjoy the process of watching him put that out and then mm-hmm. watching everybody go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
mm-hmm.
me laugh.
You know what I'm thinking? Maybe you haven't heard it. Let me hit it
okay.
again.
Poopy yeah. scoop.
You heard this part, right?
Yes.
Whoop de scoop de poop.
You heard the whoop and the scoop and the poop. You heard all
yes,
of that?
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
And still in?
Absolutely. More now.
Whoop scoop.
Now, would you listen to it if it came on the radio?
Oh, God, no.
Okay,
yeah, maybe I would.
Yeah, you would.
It's tough to tell. I mean, it's so ridiculous that it comes back around to being funny to me.
Okay. It's not. It doesn't quite make
that
distance for me, I guess.
Welcome back, Bean.
Thank you, Tenderoni. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I missed you all.
Missed you.
I'm very excited about St. Patrick's Day weekend coming up here. I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody's plans are.
No, that was a long time ago.
Oh, that's my notes here. That's the last thing I had.
Yeah. Oof. Bean had a long weekend. Longer than most of us.
How was Vegas?
Ha ha. Kevin, you excited about Coachella?
See, that already happened too, Bean.
Because
right. Both weekends.
When are we announcing the Weenie Roast?
I already have.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
We're still having Art Bell on, though, right?
Oh, Bean.
Yep. Bad news?
I mean...
Is Vern Troyer coming by?
I swear to God.
Play Kanye again.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
But at least we'll never catch the Golden State Killer.
No. That's crazy.
All right.
That's
so
a given.
That's a costume, at least. I know we have a lot of ground to cover and a lot of show today, including Weenie Roast tickets. But what would you say in the time that I have been off the show is the most significant thing that you, each person in the room, has done or has happened to since I've been gone?
Oh,
personal
stuff.
News that I missed. Oh, butt stuff?
Yeah, a lot of butt stuff.
Oh, that was mm-hmm. me too.
Yeah, Chip was there.
She was there with you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on, Chip.
How about that?
I'm not even sure how that works. And that was with the Postmates guy, I assume, Allie, since he's the only one you left in the apartment.
Right, right.
Anything big happen for y'all?
Anything Let's big see. Happen?
Gosh.
I mean, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
It has.
That's why I figured I must have missed some.
I mean, but a lot something. Of stuff happens, so it's hard to
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put your finger on one big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
See Allie's previous remark.
I think that the biggest thing on the show that happened was Omar's love for Jersey Shore.
Wow, that turned around.
I just can't get over it. How does anybody love
Jersey Shore?
Oh, no, looks forward to it now every week, not just loves it.
He, of course, were you here when he said he hated it?
I mean, I'm sure I was. I don't remember because we all hated it.
He was incensed by it. He could not even stand the idea of it. So, of course,
he was furious that it existed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, we had him bring in highlights and host it. Mm-hmm. And the very first day he came in, he's like, why did nobody tell me how great this was? This show is awesome. And he means it, and he's all in.
He's dead serious.
Because they're all idiots, though, right? I mean, he's mocking so.
Them. He does say it makes him feel better about himself, which I guess is a good thing when you're watching television.
Wow. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Right. All right, well, that is a surprise.
Yeah.
And has that been, I've kept up a little bit. I haven't followed as closely as you do with many things over the past few weeks. But is that considered a success, that return of Jersey Shore?
Oh, yeah, they've already renewed it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, aren't they success. Like 40 now?
Yeah, they're not young. Yeah.
And they're really not smarter.
Yeah, well, they're still peeing in pools and making other friends clean up their messes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what I came back to is hearing about Jersey Shore from Omar.
Yep.
That was good. I'm glad that's the highlight.
Not just hearing about Jersey Shore, but Omar really, really relishing the fact that he gets to host it.
The glee. All right.
Well, we'll let him have it, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know, there's a version of this where you don't do that.
You did bad things as a kid. Mm-hmm. I assume most of us have stories. This little kid in Australia, though, holy crap, 12 years old. Flew all the way across Australia and then to Bali?
Yeah.
What a baller.
A hero to you, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My stuff is all ridiculous compared to that.
Yeah.
I never boarded a flight to Bali.
Yeah, he had to, research planes that would actually let him on without a parent.
Yes.
This kid did deep dives.
He really did.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do horror stuff with my friend.
Yep. Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays.
Boy, did Harvey have a weekend. I can't wait to talk to him.
Agreed.
He went in the studio with Kanye.
Is he responsible for that song?
I hope so.
First question. First question is, you got any poop scoop for us, Harvey?
Great news, which we do on Mondays. We have misconnections. No?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I looked at me like she was surprised for a second. I was like, did that change?
I mean, we just haven't done it in a while.
I'm excited. It's been a while. Okay.
Cool.
We've got your Weenie Rose tickets, like Bean mentioned a second ago, and Jake Tapper.
What?
From CNN.
Oh, I love him so much.
That seems to be the consensus amongst people who watch news.
He is a good dude. He's very smart.
Saw a headline last night, Jake Tapper can't control his face, which I loved. So he's coming on the show as well today. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Allie, what's happening?
Bean. Hey, I was just looking it up. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, so I'll bring it to you guys live probably next hour.
Okay.
Yodel Kid.
His first
release.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to listen, but he has a record deal now.
I've had enough of Yodel Kid.
You had enough of Yodel Kid
the first day. I've had an assful of that kid.
How about you, Bean? You check out any of Yodel Kid?
I did, and I saw that he existed and really just couldn't care.
Oh, well, we went through the remixes. We went through his big Coachella debut. Apparently, he was on stage at Stagecoach this past weekend. I'll have Famous for you next hour. But he is...
That's his song? That's what's called Famous?
Yeah. He is signed to Atlantic Records.
All right.
So,
I know we point this out from time to time, but there are great bands who work for years to try to get a record deal.
Right.
Dude, this kid yodels.
Try to get on a big stage.
In a Walmart, though.
He yodeled at a Walmart, and now it's all happening for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was cute. He had a little hat. Yeah, he was a great yodeler, sure.
Uh-huh.
As far as yodeling goes.
Right, and how good can that be, though?
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's yodeling.
Sure.
All right,
he was good at what he did.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing that, then.
He wore little boots.
Sure.
Just tapping them right there in Walmart, looking all cute. I don't know.
Record deal,
though. Yeah. Good
Excellent.
stuff.
Excellent.
So, big weekend at the box office. Everyone expected the debut of Avengers Infinity War to do very well. Some thought it might break the record. And it actually did. It set the record for the biggest opening weekend ever.
What?
Yeah. An estimated take, a little over $250 million. Beating the current champion, Star Wars The Force Awakens, which pulled in $248 million back in its opening weekend back in 2015. So, not bad.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Kevin, you saw it?
Yep.
And?
Loved it.
Is it, as many other people are saying, the best Marvel movie by a long shot? Is that your feeling?
I mean, the fact that they used all of those characters well.
Right.
Seems like it's an impossibility. There are other Marvel movies that are a little bit more to the point, mm-hmm. and they tell one story and they really nail it.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
Yeah.
It was just different. It was different than the other ones.
Nobody felt like a throwaway in
No,
this.
Not at all.
Yeah.
How many Avengers are there now?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Like 15 or something.
Because about halfway through, they go, oh, you're an Avenger now. All right, you're an Avenger. Everybody's an Avenger.
They make you an Avenger?
I mean, yeah, they can pretty much just say that you are.
Oh.
How about Yodel Kid? Is he an Avenger?
Yodel Kid is not an Avenger.
Not yet.
Yet.
I did read one critic's thing. And it made me laugh because it was like I was writing it just bitter.
Right.
Because it's like they didn't spend time telling you everybody's story. They just dropped everybody in. If they told everyone's story, it would be a 20-hour movie.
It was already 2 hours and 40
what is
some minutes.
Wrong with you? Yeah. He like went in cold and was like, who's this person all pebbly? By the way, that would be Thanos. Thank you. Thank you so much. So again, Avengers Infinity War debuting at $250 million, followed by A Quiet Place, $10.7 million, followed by I Feel Pretty, Rampage, Black Panther. Black Panther still in the top five,
isn't that
you
crazy?
Guys. That's insane. And Super Troopers 2 coming in at 6th, followed by Truth or Dare, Blockers, Ready Player 1, and Traffic, rounding out the top 10. Bean, what's this with ABBA reuniting?
It's the greatest news of my life, is what it is.
I thought you would think so.
Are you kidding me?
Not only reuniting, but recording two new songs, you guys. I Still Have Faith in You will be released in December. And the four original members, do you know their names, Bean?
Sure.
Okay.
Benny, Bjorn, Frida, and Agnetha.
Sure, Agnetha.
Oh, my God.
She's my favorite.
Is she? They released a statement that, quote, after some 35 years, it could be fun to join forces again and go into the recording studio. So we did.
Let me put this in context. All mm-hmm. the bands that you hope will get back together, mm-hmm. the one that was the least likely to do it was ABBA.
Really?
They have resisted every opportunity and every request and every billion-dollar payday to reunite. They just weren't interested. They just were out of show business.
So what changed?
Part. I don't know.
Hmm. They're the ones that everybody points to and goes, how can you turn down $1 billion?
Yeah. Yeah, they broke up in 1982 and never did anything after that.
Was it a bad breakup?
No. They just ran it. They felt like they ran its course. I mean, I think they were tired. They've been going pretty hard for a while, you know.
Yeah, but 82.
Right? Yes, 35 right. years. Like, come yes. on.
It was so shocking
yeah.
that they came out with the announcement after the songs had already been recorded. This wasn't like, hey, we're thinking about maybe doing something down the road.
Yeah.
This was, it's already happened. It's shocking. And, you know, now the question is, what if it sucks?
What if the songs suck?
What if it sucks?
After all awesome. That time.
does that ruin their legacy or can we still enjoy Dancing Queen?
I think you can.
Well, I'm super excited.
Yeah. Well, you're going to hear the new track as part of a new ABBA special that NBC and BBC are working on together. It's going to premiere around the holidays. And there's going to be an ABBA virtual reality tour that hits the road in 2019. That sounds interesting.
Virtual reality tour.
Yeah.
Holograms.
Just holograms of ABBA?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's weird.
That is true.
Well, we don't need that.
No.
Okay.
All right.
But you know what?
You don't need that.
There are people who will go see that.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
If that were playing Las Vegas, I bet it would sell out every night. People would go to see ABBA. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And if they're back together, who's to say they don't just walk out and they're like, hey, turn off the hologram. We're real.
That's what they would say?
But in their accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be awesome. That was weird. All right. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Travis Scott. Actresses Kirsten Dunst, Diana Argon, Johnny Galecki, Kunal Nayar, and Gal Gadot. And that's what's happening.
Bean, this is Kat's mother. Welcome back. I like Stryker, but it's good you're here. Kat says you're one of the best people she knows. Sometimes I question her judgment. Anyway, she says you have good hair. Welcome back. We love you. Is that okay? Am I getting paid for this?
Kat's mom is Gilbert Gottfried, by the way.
She really is.
I love that. Thank you, Kat's mom, and thank you, Kat, and thank you for the welcome back. I have been gone for a while, and I have to tell you, I know that there are many times throughout the year that we bring this up, Kevin, but our listeners are, for the most part, not entirely, just the nicest, kindest, most caring, sweetest people in the world.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
It has been overwhelming. And I apologize that I have not been able to respond to everybody, but I'm talking about messages by the thousand from people as a result of me being out. And it really touched a nerve. And this kind of surprised me a little bit. And this is something that I don't know that we've spoken about much on the air over the years that we've been doing this show. It kind of surprised me how many people were moved by the announcement that the reason I was gone was for mental health reasons. And I think people were a little bit surprised to hear that out loud. And I think people, a lot of people, and I heard some very detailed stories from a lot of people who it really gave them strength and hope and courage to take their own mental health issues more seriously. And I feel like, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, I feel like that is an area that many of us have grown up to push aside, mm-hmm. to ignore.
Yeah,
Am I wrong about that?
No, that's true.
No. I was talking to people, and you know, I took this time away for my own well-being, and you know, nobody would look askance at he broke his leg, so that's why he's not on the show. He had appendicitis. He had a heart attack. Whatever it was,
you had all that too.
No, I didn't. Oh. No, I missed all that.
Wow. He was fine one day.
Right?
How did that happen? And there would be no questions asked that people would accept. But your brain and what's going on inside your brain is every bit or maybe even more important than all of those things. And you have to take care of that as well. And I'm grateful that I recognized that before things got bad. And I'm especially grateful that I'm lucky enough to have the kind of job where you can take that time off. I know not everybody has that luxury, but I think there are a bunch of laws, California and federal laws, that do give many employees the option to take care of their mental health and have paid time off, right? I mean, I'm
I think
not
so
wrong
too,
about
yeah.
that. I think so. But it was a very difficult decision for me to make because I'm a guy who does not like to miss work. I like to stay current.
And all evidence to the contrary right now, if you don't mind my saying so.
maybe this isn't maybe the best time to be out bragging about my attendance record.
My work ethic is second to none. I told you that 5 weeks ago.
I mean, it was a really hard decision, though, because you kind of just feel like you should just push on. And I think this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, is I think that many of us, me included, think that you just deal with it. You just handle it. You know what I mean? And I didn't feel like I could anymore. I felt like I was a little bit surprised to hear that out loud. And I think a lot of people, and I heard some very detailed stories from a lot of people who it really gave them strength and hope and courage to take their own mental health issues more seriously. And I feel like, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, I feel like that is an area that many of us have grown up to push aside, mm-hmm. to ignore.
Yeah,
Am I wrong about that?
No, that's true.
Yeah. I was talking to people, and you know, I took this time away for my own well-being, and you know, nobody would look askance at he broke his leg, so that's why he's not on the show. He had appendicitis. he, you know, had a heart attack. Whatever it was.
You had all that too?
No, I didn't. I missed all that.
Wow. He was fine one day.
Right?
How did that happen? And there would be no questions asked that people would accept. But your, you know, your brain and what's going on inside your brain is every bit or maybe even more important than all of those things. And you have to take care of that as well. And I'm grateful that I recognized that before things got bad. And I'm especially grateful that I'm lucky enough to have the kind of job where you can take that time off. I know not everybody has that luxury, but I think there are a bunch of laws, California and federal laws, that do give many employees the option to take care of their mental health and have paid time off, right? I mean, I'm not wrong about that. I think so. But it was a very difficult decision for me to make because I am a guy who does not like to miss work. I like to stay current.
And all evidence to the contrary right now, if you don't mind my saying so.
maybe this isn't maybe the best time to be out bragging about my attendance record.
My work ethic is second to none. I told you that 5 weeks ago.
I mean, it was a really hard decision, though, because you kind of just feel like you should just push on. And I think this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, is I think that many of us, me included, think that you just deal with it. You just handle it. You know what I mean? And I didn't feel like I could anymore. I felt like it wasn't possible for me to continue to, you know, give the show the attention that it needed and also spend the time getting healthy. So I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to do that. And I will tell you this, I am, and Kevin, you have a lot more experience than this than I do, no fan of psychiatry at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a pain in the ass that is.
Yeah.
Questions, questions, questions. Complaints, complaints, complaints.
It's like, dude, take it easy. Just take a beat. Take a rest.
And I'll tell you this.
I want you to answer my question.
Yeah. They do ask the tough questions, I'll tell you that. And there's no getting out of it, you know? You're just kind of sitting there and you're just squirming, waiting for that 50 minutes to be up. But I will tell you what is what was unusual in my situation is I have no memory of most of my life. And psychiatrists, and I'm sure that there's a lot of good research to back this up, they seem to think that a lot of things that happen to you are as the result of things that happen in your childhood.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or the way you were raised by your parents. And I'm just a blank slate when it comes to that stuff. I just don't remember that stuff.
Did you ever come across anybody that said, that's a bad sign? That you don't remember any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, my doctor, you know, had some real questions. I mean, she wants me to, you know, get back into, you know, neurology and start getting some, you know, getting some images made and, you know, trying to figure out what it is, if that, you know, what that has to do with. But, you know, the pieces that she was able to put together, you know, she was still able to, in her mind, make some connections about the way I was feeling about, you know, this job, my career accomplishments or lack thereof, and the lack of support from my parents for this career. You know, she was making connections like that. And I don't know if it's all BS or if there's anything to it or not, but it was interesting to see that process work. Anyway, so is there anything you guys wanted to know about it, by the way? I don't really have anything planned to say, but except to thank the listeners for their incredible support and to say that I am happy to be back, and I missed most of you.
Put a percentage on that, would you?
Well, I mean,
name names. Why not?
I'll just say that, you know, I heard from people from throughout my whole life, from people I went to high school with, I heard from,
wow,
all the way up till many radio hosts at competing radio stations in Southern California with very warm greetings. Never heard from Beer Mug. Not a word from the Mugs.
Well, he doesn't like you.
I mean, I just, you know, if we're naming names, I mean, I don't know, a text. Just
would that have killed him?
Well, it would have killed him. Just, hey, how are you? You know,
come
I mean, you guys sent me a fruitcake. You know, I got heard nothing from Omar. So I just.
Come on.
I mean, Beer Mug. I'm sorry. Nothing from Beer Mug.
So, you're just the
worst. But
here's
anyway.
Here's my question.
Yes.
How do you feel about things now? Like, do you feel you're 50% better, 80% better, 100% better?
Just on the right track.
Do you have no idea?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the right. I feel like I'm on the right track because of medication. I think that, and that makes a huge difference. I mean, the right medication, and there's been some experimentation for me, but the right medication, you really do feel a gloom evaporating after, you know, 30 minutes, which makes a huge difference.
Heroin's
you know?
A hell of a drug.
It sure
I don't
is.
Think that's what he's.
I am cautiously optimistic. I mean, I'm not going to lie when I tell you there were definitely moments this weekend when I was like, I am not sure if I can do this. But I also, you know, I am hearing my doctor's voice in the back of my head that says, what's the worst that can happen? You know, and the reality is the worst that could happen is I don't do it or I leave early or something like that and everybody's fine. It's not, you know, we're not flying a plane here. So when you look at it that way, you realize, well, let's give it a try, you know. And as you pointed out to me on the phone last week, Kevin, you know, it was very likely that I would come in, sit down, and muscle memory would take over because this is something we've been doing for a long time.
We've done it for a minute.
Mm-hmm. We've done it for a minute, yeah. So I'm feeling cautiously optimistic is the best way. I don't know how to put a percentage on it, but I'm a hell of a lot better shape than I was a month ago, that's for sure.
Would you say that you have the altitude to get off the boat?
I hope so. That's the goal anyway.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What? Wait, what?
I didn't say that.
What?
Just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with me.
So you're saying you do have the altitude.
Look, I'll never be that good again. I mean, my peak days are behind me, but it's good to be back.
Time to talk
Whoopity
to
Scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop.
Time to talk to Kanye West's best friend, Harvey Levin. Scoop dee. You think Harvey gets a co-write on this one?
I hope. Poop
diddy whoop. It'd be amazing if they collaborated in the studio. This is what they came up with.
He want a co-write on this one.
Hey, poopity scoopity Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. How are you, sir?
Poopity scoopity.
When I saw the video of Kanye freestyling for you in the studio this weekend, I thought, oh my God, what's happening in the world?
Well, it is weird.
What is happening?
I don't know how to explain this. Jeez. It's been a week. You know, I've never had any interaction with Kanye, and he was pissed that we had done a story based on people we had talked to that he was acting erratic. And we posted a story, and he tweeted that we were wrong, and he said, I want to talk to you. So I've had several conversations with him between then, you know, I think it was like Tuesday and now. And I got to tell you, I've got a different opinion. Number one, I don't think he's erratic at all. I think that was a lie. I think, you know, that the people who are saying this may have agendas that involve being pushed out of his world. But I don't think he's an erratic guy at all. I think he's got a world view, and I think it's manifested by what he's decided to do, which is to put the picture of the doctor responsible for the death of his mother on his album cover, which sounds just bizarre, right?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
So can I try and explain?
Sure. Yes, please.
What he and I'm probably not going to do this justice, but his feeling about this, and I think it's really interesting, his feeling about this is that this society, I mean, not just America, but certainly America, has become so intolerant and filled with hate. And, you know, you've got people on both sides who are trying to tear the opposition down just for their beliefs. You know, for example, you know, you watch CNN, and God help anybody who in any way says anything good about Donald Trump, they will kill them.
Right.
And, you know, and the other side, the same.
And, I mean, it's basically, you know, just name calling.
Pardon me?
It's just basically
more
his
than name calling. It's more than name calling. I mean, you hear people in this town who say, I'm blackballed for my ideas. It's McCarthyism. We are in the middle of a McCarthy type society. We really are. It is exactly what Joe McCarthy did in 54. It's just the difference is the politics are different. And if you believe something that goes, quote, against the grain, they want to kill you. And his feeling is that we got to break ourselves from that, and that we've got to open our minds, be allowed to speak the way we want to speak, and also not just fill everything with hatred, but have some forgiveness for people. And he thinks it's almost symbolic to forgive the thing that devastated him the most in his life, which is the loss of his mother. And you may not believe what he says, but it's interesting. It is interesting, and it's a well-thought-out point of view.
Harvey, a refresher course for me. The doctor was not criminally liable or anything like that for the mother's death. If anything, my memory is that it was her aftercare that lagged after the surgery.
Well,
right?
It's a complicated thing. He did multiple procedures on her, and the coroner's report did mention, I believe it was liposuction, and there were a couple of other things that they said contributed to her death.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there were problems with this going in. But again, you know, the point being that he, you know, and look, the Make America Great Again hat that he wears, I think that there are parts of Donald Trump he admires. I don't get it because we disagree on this. And I think there are parts of him, and I think it's just the fact that he's not, that Trump isn't afraid to speak his mind.
Well, they have dragon energy.
I mean,
that was his tweet, right? Dragon energy, him and the president.
It's true, and I think that's why he admires him, and I disagree with him on this. But at the same time, I think what he wants to show is that there are, you know, that you are allowed to speak your mind, that you can open your mind and not be and not be afraid that people will tear you down for your point of view. And it's almost like he figured this is the lightning rod that will show his point better than anything else. I don't know if this is making any sense, but that's, you know, I think he's got a real point of view here.
I think it does make sense, and I also think Kanye is masterful at calling attention to himself, which is one of the things that he admires in the president, as you mentioned. And I think he knows that the quickest way to get everyone in hip-hop to talk about Kanye West is to go 100% against the grain and support President Trump right now.
And realizing that there's going to be an enormous backlash, which there is. I mean,
sure.
There are a lot of people who feel he's betrayed the African-American community by this. There are a lot of people who are boycotting the albums that he's putting out. But, you know, I think you're right. I mean, I think he likes that because what it does is it raises all these issues and puts them right to the forefront.
Is it,
and I think that's what he wants to do.
Is it more about, you know, creating world peace, which he says everybody can get along and we can all have world peace? Or is it more about, hey, I just need everybody to look at me right now?
Well, he talks about world peace one-on-one. He doesn't, like, you know, this is not him just, you know, doing it in front of a microphone. I mean, he really believes that, you know, what happened between North and South Korea is hugely symbolic. And you know, and I think he almost wants to mimic that with Jan Adams in his world. But, you know, the fact that you've got these two leaders who hugged, which is just the most improbable thing in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there is one other thing that he thinks that really has had me thinking for a while now. And that is, he feels that black men, it's almost racist that they're almost forced to present themselves as perfect. That you look at Obama and, you know, that there's a perfection there. That even the fact that he smokes gets hidden because a black man, he says, has to be, you know, portrayed as perfect. And he says, look, he's a flawed individual. But he likes that he's a flawed individual, and he likes to show that he's a flawed individual, and he also likes to show that he's not, you know, just all about saying things that people want to hear, and he thinks it's freeing, especially for black men. And again, I don't feel qualified to say whether that's right or wrong because I'm not a black man. But at the same time, it's a point of view, and it's a strong one, and it's well thought out.
Let me ask you one more question, Harvey, because we know you have to go to your meeting, and that is the other song that came out besides the Poop to Scoop was the one with T.I. where it's basically it's yay versus the people, and it's a debate about President Trump. And he says one of the things – Kanye says one of the things he admires about the president is he now knows that anyone can run for president and be president. Do you have any sense whatsoever – I know that people joke about Kanye 24, but do you have any sense whatsoever that he wants to get into public office?
Well, he says he's going to run in 2024. Look, here's my sense. Kanye West believes he can change the world. He does. And for a lot of people, that's just wacko. I mean, it is just wacko. I will only say this, and I'm not saying he's going to, but I'm saying that he has a grandiose idea of what he thinks he can do. And he really believes it. I mean, it's not BS and it's not publicity. I believe he believes it. Now, if you were talking to Steve Jobs about 30 years ago and he said that, you would probably think he's a wacko too, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
he did.
You don't
well,
know.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you know Kanye will never stop texting you now, right? You know that. You're never going to get out of that orbit.
I mean, I got to tell you, one of the things that I really like, I mean, I don't agree with all of this, and I'm not sure I certainly don't understand all of it, but, you know, there are a lot of people in the world of celebrity who are kind of vapid, and I think you got to pay attention and respect when somebody really tries to go beyond, you know, red carpet BS and talk about things in the world that matter, whether you agree with them or not. And I think that's the point, which is...
Like Poop to Scoop, right?
Well, but you know what? Here's the thing about that. Well, here's what I love, and I really believe this, that people are not one-dimensional. And you can have a real, you know, thinker who can get silly, too. Because mm-hmm. that's what a person is. And the person doesn't have to always present themselves one way. It's why I always thought the best interviewer on TV was Katie Couric, because Katie could be really serious and really silly. And that's what a human being is, and that's why she was popular, because she was a human being, and it was authentic. And I think, you know, to say, oh, he's doing this poop, you know, business, it's like, it's funny. Because that's what human beings are. You guys can have serious discussions and you can have silly discussions, but that's what a person is. And when you try and always present yourself one way, which is what most people in the media do, it's not authentic. It's not real. It's not true.
Very, very interesting stuff this morning. Harvey, thank you for sharing that with us. TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4, same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Have a great week, sir. Talk to you soon.
You too, guys.
Thank you. We've got your tickets for the Weenie Roast coming up just after 7 o'clock with the game we're going to play.
By the way, tickets still available, access.com if you want to buy them. Blink 182 and Panic at the Disco and Rise Against. That'll be enough right there as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
But then you throw in your Dirty Heads and your Mike Shinoda and your Cold War Kids and your War on Drugs and all the rest. Two big chances for you to win tickets in the first five rows, including one coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, how about some great news?
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, my story comes out of Denver, Colorado. 11-year-old Logan Wilson is about to turn 12. She read a book that inspired her. The book is called Choose to Matter. And it's by two-time Olympic gold medalist U.S. women's soccer team member Julie Foudy. And it inspired Logan, who's 11, just about to turn 12. And she heard the story of a four-year-old girl. In June, she was diagnosed with a rare cancerous brain tumor. And I've not heard of this, but it's called DIPG. And it's only found in children, and there's no cure and there's no treatment.
Oh, wow.
So instead of getting birthday gifts for her 12th birthday party, Logan has organized a family run to benefit Piper. And here's the important part. This has caused a chain reaction as other kids have now canceled their birthday parties and joined her effort in the run to raise money for this family. The mom says one small act of kindness can cause another one to cause another one to cause another one. Logan's mom and dad organized the meeting between Logan and Piper so that just to kind of get to know what she's like and to make the run as helpful as possible. Logan says, I hope they find a cure and work harder and harder to make it better for families who are experiencing it. And Piper's parents have a website with a blog and information on DIPG called warriorsforprincesspiper.com. And on the website, you can buy a Princess Piper's warrior bracelet for $25 to show your support. And I think that's
great news.
It is great news. And I love that we are seeing so many stories. You know, I'm thinking about the Parkland kids and how they've become activists for their cause, you know, gun control. But you see so many stories of kids using social media for good, which is really inspiring, figuring out ways to connect with other people and help other people. And that young generation is really doing some cool stuff.
Yeah. 11 years old to think about other people. It's crazy.
You know what I was doing when I was 11?
What?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie.
Okay.
That was you. Yeah. You know what? I forgot about that. Uh-huh. All right. Allie, you're next.
By now, I think we've all heard about the Nashville Waffle House shooting, right? Just insane guy comes in with his assault rifle, kills four people. Could have killed a lot more had it not been for James Shaw Jr., who said, I acted in a blink of a second when he reloaded his clip. That felt like 30 minutes. I looked at him. He wasn't looking at me. He just had the barrel down. It was like, do it now. Go now. And I just took off. So he not only disarmed him, he caused him to run out of the place. He's gone. But sadly, four people died. Two people were grazed as well with the bullet, including James Shaw Jr. But first of all, hero. Unbelievable that he did this. Put his life in front of the bullet, essentially, to try and save people. He didn't know if it would happen. Turned out it did. But it's the aftermath that makes this James Shaw Jr. just such an incredible human being. He decided, I should start a GoFundMe page for the victims. I want to help their families, pay for the funeral, do anything I possibly can. So he set up a GoFundMe page, and he was just asking maybe $15,000. So far, that is now up to $207,000.
Wow.
$207,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For these families. This is a victim himself that decided to do this. So then a separate individual, a journalist, Yashar Ali, decided, well, this guy deserves something. I mean, this guy is the reason so many people survived in there. How about we start a GoFundMe for him? Because it turns out he has a daughter. He just wanted maybe a good vacation for the guy, just something. So far, that separate GoFundMe account has raised $202,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody, you get a GoFundMe. You get a GoFundMe. Everyone gets a GoFundMe.
I'm just saying. It's unbelievable what this guy, 29 years old, just decides, I'm going to take this all, my life into my own hands, do this. Hopefully I can save some people. And then his first thought after it is, how can I now help the people that I couldn't save? Unbelievable. We need many more James Shaw Juniors in this world. And that's my great news.
Detroit, Michigan. This past Tuesday, around 1 a.m., 911 calls started coming in to alert the police that there was a man who was getting ready to jump off an interstate overpass, Interstate 696. He was standing there ready to jump. The police decided this is a dangerous situation, not only for the man, but for the cars going by on the highway underneath. So they diverted traffic off. And while they did that, they stopped all of the tractor trailers that were getting off the freeway and said, hey, why don't you go line up under the bridge? What they did was 13 tractor trailers lined up next to each other under the bridge. So if the man did jump off the bridge, he would only fall 6 feet. Wow. Is that genius or what?
That is genius. That's crazy.
I've never heard of this before. Once we figured out what the situation was, we closed down the traffic, and then all we had to do was talk to him. You know, we always look for people who are involved in this type of incidents. Usually there's a trigger. We try to find out what that trigger is and rectify it. We were able to do that with him. We were able to convince him that this was not the right thing to do. We were able to get him to a local hospital where he's getting the help he needs. But I'll tweet out this photograph of these 13 trucks parked in both directions under the bridge, which is just amazing that those truckers were able to contribute in that way. And that's just an ingenious solution that I'd never heard of before. For that worked in this case. So everyone walked away happy. And that is my great news.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. We've got your tickets for the Weenie Roast coming up just after the top of the hour. We're going to play Title Fight. If you're a Blink-182 fan, you're who we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. You call now. We'll play right after the top of the hour.
How fun are they, by the way?
They're the best.
Mm-hmm. Picture that. Saturday night, StubHub Center, May 12th, Blink-182, beautiful springtime evening. Or is it summer then? Is it summer by May?
Early summer, yeah.
Well, all right.
Not technically.
Technically in June, I guess, but it's great.
Technically, it doesn't really matter. Because
it's been summer since January. Right. There, so. All right, Blink tickets and all the rest of the great lineup for the Weenie Roast this year. If you're a Blink-182 fan, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. As we mentioned, we'll give you a chance to play. Allie's here. Time for what's happening on a Monday morning.
Well, with the guilty verdict in the Bill Cosby trial, Temple University has taken back the honorary doctorate that it awarded him back in 1991. And then other universities followed suit with revoking honorary degrees for Cosby as well, including Carnegie Mellon University, Johns Hopkins, Notre Dame, Boston College, Wellesleyan University. So take that, Cosby. Right? I mean,
I feel like that may be the least of his worries.
That's what I'm saying. But as long as you can puff out your chest and say, well, we are taking that back. Goodness.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you. Katy Perry, making friends in very high places. She attended the United to Cure event at the Vatican on Saturday.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep, you heard me. Just hanging out at the Vatican.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Isn't she the one who killed a nun to get a house?
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Well, how does she get to hang out at the Vatican?
Apparently that nun was a bitch, right? They're like, just invite her. It'll be fine. Well, no, she went with Orlando Bloom, and they got to hobnob with Pope Francis. What?
Do you hobnob with the Pope?
I believe you do. Okay. You partied down with old Poperino. Katie spoke about her personal experience with transcendental meditation. And she says she uses it to relieve stress, anxiety, jet lag, and believes it could also cure hangovers. What are they talking about at this event?
I don't think you should ever bring up hangovers with His Holiness.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he doesn't have them?
Right.
He can drink all he wants and he doesn't have a hangover. That's awesome. What?
How's that?
Because he's the Pope.
Oh, you don't get drunk off the blood of Jesus? I'm not sure what we're saying here.
Amen to that, right?
Okay, that's an interesting thing. All right, good stuff. Hey guys, you ready
for
another sequel to Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
Yes,
I know you've been waiting. Alexis Bledel talked about it during her appearance on Jimmy Fallon, saying we just pitched the third movie, although no details as of yet.
Yeah,
I know.
Woo-hoo!
I know. Maybe.
All right.
Okay.
Woo!
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Maybe Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants isn't for you, but what about another movie about that porcelain doll possessed by demonic forces? Who's with me? Another Annabelle?
Yes, please.
All right. Well,
we're all going to die tonight.
Get ready, because the original made $84 million, cost $6.5 to make. And then the first sequel, Annabelle Creation, cost $15 million to make. That made $102 million. How dumb are you not to make 800 Annabelles, right?
No kidding.
So get ready for that. And Henry Winkler says that the upcoming season 5 of Arrested Development is going to premiere this summer. And he gave a few clues as to the plot lines in the upcoming season. He says the show will focus on a wealthy family who lost everything and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together. Then Netflix came out. They're like, yeah, it's coming soon. They were like, hey Henry, maybe let's not say summer. But that's exciting, right?
Come on! I have been off the air since Barry premiered. How great is Henry Winkler on that?
Can we discuss Barry?
It's amazing.
Bean, thank God you're back, because I've been talking about Barry, and Kevin saying, I'll catch up, I'll watch it. It is so a show for you, Kevin.
And yeah. I did watch it.
You did?
Yes.
What do you think?
I watched the first episode. It's fantastic.
Okay, well, get ready.
It's so good.
It gets even better. First of all, Bill Hader, so good.
So
Henry
good.
Winkler,
awesome.
So freaking funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Can we discuss NoHo Hank?
He's great too.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with NoHo Hank. He's the worst assassin ever. He's the worst.
It's a very funny show.
Oh man,
it's on HBO. Saturday nights. Check it out if you can.
I'm telling you, it is one of the best shows on television right now, for sure. I have so many Barry feelings. It's ridiculous. Some birthdays for you. Diana Argon, Kirsten Dunst, Johnny Galecki, Gal Gadot, Travis Scott, and Kunal Nayar. That's what's happening.
It's going to be inspiring and emotional, and we're going to have all sorts of feelings when Mike Shinoda takes the stage at the K-Rock Greeny Roast in a couple of weeks.
Agreed.
But it's something you definitely don't want to miss. Tickets are on sale now for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is happening on Saturday, May 12th at the StubHub Center. Blink 182 at the top of the bill. We have Blink fans on the line right now. It's time to play Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Say hi to our man, Jacob, I want to say, in Chino, line one. Hey, Jacob. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
You say you're a Blink 182 fan. Prove it.
Yes, I am. They were actually the first concert I ever went to. They played Glen Helen with No Doubt about, I don't even know how many years ago. So they just hold like a nice place in my heart.
That's sweet.
Oh, that is right. Nice.
I like it. What, Dave?
Trying to keep Dave off as long as possible.
I remember that show. K-Rock had a meet and greet with Mark Hoppus, Tom DeLonge, and Travis Barker there at the Glen Helm Pavilion.
Well, they're the guys in Blink-182.
Yeah,
yeah, so yeah, that's weird.
And it took me 2 hours to get off the freeway to get to that meet
and greet. All right. These are great memories.
Yeah. They really are.
Well, I was saying, that was a good show.
Right.
Refresh my memory, Kevin. Do we meet contestant two now, or do we just go ahead and go forward with contestant
one? We have Jacob pick who he wants to give this clues.
Okay. You know how the game is played, Jacob? The title fight is they're going to be you pick a partner. He's going to try to get you to say a Blink 182 song title as many as you can in a certain period of time. Who do you want to play with, Dave or Allie?
I'll play with Allie.
Good choice.
The only right answer.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Jacob anymore.
Right?
All right, so is it 45 seconds on the clock?
Yes, sir.
And you're not allowed to say any of the major words in the song title. And I'll say this also, if you get stuck, you can skip one and then come back to it at the end if you have some time. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Let's do it. And go.
When you are awake for 24 hours, you are in the evening.
Up all night.
Yes. Yep. When someone goes away, you could say this to them. Yes.
Yes.
When you ask somebody how old you are.
What's my age again?
Yes. This is why you don't go on a cruise, because you could fall.
Overboard.
Yes, but the title of the song? Not a woman, but a.
Oh, pass for now.
Oh, God. Okay. Dwayne Johnson.
Rock show.
Yes. Okay. So you're not a woman, but you're a opposite of woman. Word.
Oh man.
Not a woman, but a right.
Yeah.
So man. Close. So
you
close.
You should have tried to make that a little easier for him, Allie.
Right.
All right. Well, look. That's very impressive. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. He got 4 of his 45
yes.
seconds. All right. So that's definitely the time to beat. Let's say hi to Alfredo. He's in Lawndale, line 2. Hey, Alfredo. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you.
And how far back do you go with Blink 182?
Well, I wish I could have seen them before they reunited, but the first time I saw them was back in 2009.
Okay.
When they first got back together after that little hiatus.
All right. All right. Well, they were still great then, so you'll have a great time if you win these tickets. Obviously, you got a tough competitor on the other line. Any questions before we hook
up? Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see how I can do.
Well, you got Dave, so you already got a strike against you.
All
right, Alfredo,
let's
do this.
Come on, Dave, let's do this.
Good luck with that. Are you ready?
Go. Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, not big, but...
All the small things.
Mm-hmm. When there's nothing to do, you are...
Bored to death. Oh.
All right, not... let's see, your brain is in there, and it's a dude. When you're thinking about a dude, but the opposite of that.
A girl? Yeah. About a girl?
Yeah, something about a girl. But what's in your head?
He said pass.
Oh. All right. You do this for your children.
Stay together for the kids.
Yes.
All right. When you meet someone, you go on a...
First date.
Yep.
First date.
All right. And now, let's see. This is your head. What's in your head?
Sorry.
Oh. That was a very tough one.
Tied.
Yeah. She's out of her mind.
Yeah,
all right.
All right, Kevin, refresh my memory. How do we settle a tiebreaker?
All right, now we go for time.
Oh, no.
We do one each and we go for time.
Okay.
So the first one is going to be Jacob again. Hey, Jacob.
Okay.
All right.
Now, Allie's going to has one extra one. She hasn't seen it yet. She's going to give you clues, and then we're going for time. The quickest one wins. There's only one.
So take your time.
Got it.
All right, are you ready? And go.
This could be a cuss word. When you stub your toe, you say,
damn it.
4 seconds.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's very impressive.
All right.
Jacob, let's see if Alfredo can beat it to win the tickets for the Carrot Wheel.
Come on, that's not even fair. All right,
4 seconds, Alfredo. Are you ready?
All right.
Let's go. Come on, Dave.
And go.
All right. If you have these as emotions.
Feeling it.
He actually said feeling it, though, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. But it was also six. Yeah. It was also 6.5 seconds.
So he was out anyway.
Sorry, Alfredo.
Jacob, you win.
Yay.
Well done. Congratulations. Dave, did you win or lose that one?
I'm going to put that on Alfredo. So I'm going to stay.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Enjoy the concert. Thanks for playing the game.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Kevin, you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
Right.
But Jake Tapper is a superstar in the cable news world. He's on 6 days a week on CNN. He's got a wife and 2 young children. Yet, on top of all of that, he still managed to write his 3rd book. And he's coming in on the 9 o'clock hour this morning to talk about his new book called The Hellfire Club.
But at least he's an artist as well.
He's a very talented cartoonist as well. Yes.
Eagles fan.
I know.
I mean.
We got to dig him for that.
Yeah.
Can we get past that?
I don't know if I can.
Right?
And we got to dig him for all the fake news that spews out of his pie hole, too. So anyway, the great Jake Tapper joins us in studio coming up later this morning here on K-Rock.
The next story you're about to hear is insane. It's a 12-year-old Sydney boy that stole his parents' credit card, tricked his grandmother into giving him his passport, left Australia, flew to Bali on his own.
Yeah.
12.
After a family argument, I'll show you.
How about that? So here's, I'm going to play the current affair audio. This is the report that they aired in Australia. And you just tell me how much of it you can take.
Okay.
Because this guy just drives me nuts.
The 12-year-old boy who took himself across Australia and on to Bali on his own with not a parent in tow. And don't think it couldn't happen to you.
Go to hell, this dude, right?
What is with the music? Is this a Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
It does seem that way. I'd rather have the usually driving Nine Inch Nails type sound that's underneath most of these stories, but...
So a child can have an argument with their parents and leave the country.
He just doesn't like the word no.
Now, that's his mom. He just doesn't like the word no.
Oh, and that's what I got. A kid in Indonesia.
And no one stopped him at the border.
It's too easy.
Went to the airport and then Guru didn't let me on.
Why is that?
Because I didn't have a document from Mom.
So he gets to the airport. The first airline won't let him on.
Or Dad.
Like most kids, he can do a world of stuff on that smartphone.
So after I got the money back from Garuda, I went to Qantas and then booked it and then they needed a letter from Mom. And then I looked up at Jetstar and they said it will work.
Third time lucky.
They didn't say it would work. It said, I'm not an unaccompanied minor.
So he tried one airline, tried two airlines. The third said it was fine for an unaccompanied minor without the letter, and they didn't even ask for it.
What, 12?
12.
Mm.
So he flew.
Does anyone know, Kevin, you've had kids that have had to travel. What's the policy in the United States? What's the age they allow you to travel alone?
It's not the age that they allow you to travel alone, I don't think. It's that you have to have a parent that drops them off and give them a letter saying it's okay. And then the staff, the stewardesses, they actually put a little identification on them.
Yeah.
They sit them in a seat. They walk them off the plane, the whole thing.
I mean, I can see if the kid were 16 or something.
And
I can
looked
see
over.
Yeah, that's a kid who could probably handle himself, but no one's mistaken this 12-year-old for somebody who should be out there by himself. Right?
We're going to take your calls in a second at 1-800-520-1067 if you did something, bad as a kid. I don't know that anybody can top this.
Yeah, this is pretty
ingenious. I mean, this kid's pretty strong.
Catching a train to the airport for a flight that, unfortunately, was via Perth.
Sort of stuffed up because I got the DLG.
Not to worry, he still had his wits about him. Don't go to those check-in counters, they ask too many questions. So, he self-served himself.
Ew. I mean,
right?
Why'd you have to add that?
I don't know why he threw that
disgusting.
In.
Disgusting.
Well, I mean, 12's about the right age, Allie.
So he flies to Perth, and then he self... What did he say?
Self-serves himself.
And gets himself on another flight.
And not an alarm bell went off.
Is he telling a Christmas story?
That's what I'm saying. He's gathered the kids around. They've got their eggnog. This is so weird.
His flight touches down in Denpasar.
And then they just asked for my passport. And then they asked if I was with anyone. And I said, no, my mom's waiting outside because she lives in Bali. And I'm going to meet her outside. And he goes, stamp. Okay.
That's all it took.
Stamp.
Yeah, look, my mom's outside. Okay, you're good.
Drew headed to reception and checked in.
And I said my sister was coming, and I was just checking in early because she was going out.
He threw the bag in his room and hit the town, renting a motorbike.
He rented a motorbike!
Come on!
He's 12!
He's this a baller. Kid, he's right? A baller.
You were actually driving the motorbike around. Please tell me you had a helmet.
Yeah,
you did.
They gave one to me.
Okay. 12 years old, and they gave it to you. You don't have a license.
They just want the money.
Did you do anything that you shouldn't have done?
I would say everything up until this point.
Sir, are you
shouldn't
listening
have been
to
done.
Your report? Good God.
But he does take it a step further because you could work up a mighty thirst.
Flying
across
no.
The
no.
Aside from the trip to Bali.
I drank a beer.
You did have a beer. Where'd you have that?
At the beach.
He'd been ignoring the frantic calls and messages from home on his mobile, but perhaps when he posted a video of his antics in the pool, the tracking device gave him up.
Now, is that stupid or is he just taunting? Because he's smart enough,
yeah.
I would think, to not post a video of himself at a pool in Bali.
At this point, he's just trolling.
Like, I would think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's when I collapsed.
Mom. The police rang Mum with the news.
The worst words of my life. They confirmed he left Australian waters 4 days previous.
Okay, 4 days previous. What's she doing in those 4 days?
Great question.
Wow.
Right? Oh, yeah, he left 4 days ago. You know what? Doesn't seem like he's been around. You're right.
Terrible parents. <him. laughs>
Hey, how long is this report?
That's it. That's the end of it. It does feel like it's in real time, but
it does, yeah.
It's a terrible reporter, but imagine doing that as a 12-year-old.
Wow.
Why did the kid go to Bali?
He wanted to go to Bali, and his mom said no.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unacceptable to him. It doesn't say why he wanted to go to Bali, but he was just not going to take no for an answer. So he made it happen.
Whew. He is something else.
Right?
All right. So what kind of bad behavior are we looking for? Like you got away from your parents? Do we want some of that?
I mean, you
struck out on your own?
Sure, if that's what it is. I mean, anything that you did that was way out of the ordinary for a kid.
Okay. Yeah, not like you said you were sleeping at Liz Rosenthal's house, but you were sneaking into Ghazari's.
That's
not
a very
like
specific
that.
Example.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
That's odd.
Okay. All right, so 1-800-520-1067.
Well, I wanted to do hood rat stuff for my friend.
Right.
If you're doing hood rat stuff, we understand that. Let's take one call before the break, shall we? Again, the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. First time the words toll-free have been said in a long time.
Yep.
That was odd.
I have been gone a while.
Yeah, but
nobody's 12 years. Nobody's paying for calls anymore. Let's go to our old friend Nick in HB to get us started.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning, everybody. Yeah, so quick story relevant to being a kid going to the airport. I had a favorite cap gun back in the day. You remember when they were kind of metal. And we're going to the airport. When my mom wasn't looking, I put it in our carry-on because I really wanted to take it. And I don't understand. You obviously can't take guns to the airport and stuff. It's just being a dumb kid. And sure enough, we go through security. The cops come. They think it's a real gun. You know,
sure.
Everything kind of hit the fans. And yeah, she actually worked for the airlines too. So it was a bad day for kind of everybody.
Wow,
yeah.
No.
Being a dumb kid.
But did you say it's just a cap gun?
Yeah, it was back when they used to be like all metal.
And
sure.
It was one of those.
Look, even if it was just a cap gun, that's going to cause panic. Sure. As soon as they see that, they're going to go, what the hell is happening here? Your parents were not pleased.
Exactly.
By many things about you, right, Nick?
Right.
That's what I thought. Okay. Thanks for calling, dude. 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear about the hood rat stuff you did when you were a kid. I think you're right, Kevin. I don't think we're going to top flying yourself to Bali. But whatever you got, we want to hear about it next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Nirvana, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Nick in Long Beach. Hi, Nick.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We're talking about things you did as a kid that perhaps you shouldn't have based on the 12-year-old that flew from Australia to Bali. What's your story?
Right. So when my friends and I were younger, we would go out, sneak out at night. We called it mischiefing. We kind of would sneak out and cause all kinds of trouble. And nothing too bad, except one night we were looking to achieve, I guess, a new form of mischief. And we ran through this townhome complex or apartment complex and turned on all the water hoses at every unit and then just left the place like that.
I'm sorry, what was the name of it again?
We would mischief, a verb, let's go mischief. What's the deal with that?
You need a cooler name.
And now California's out of water. Thanks
right?
to you
yeah,
and your friends.
Thanks, Nick.
Way to go, Nick.
I'm sorry, California.
1-800-520-1067. Text or call, and we'll take your calls next. We're talking about this boy that's 12 years old that left Australia and flew to Bali. And rented a motorcycle and had a beer and checked into a hotel.
No big deal.
Sure. Posted photos of himself in the pool.
Sure.
Nice. Taking your calls right now on bad stuff you did as a kid, stuff that shocked your parents. From the 562, Brandon writes in, I would go around with all my friends at night stealing people's antenna balls off their car. It became such a regular thing. Our final count was about 515 until my mom caught me and freaked out. Remember when antenna balls were a thing?
Yeah.
What's mom sure uptight?
All right, where do you want to go? Got a good batch of calls here.
Let's start with Jenna in Simi Valley. Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
You did what when you were a kid?
Well, I had just got my license, and my mom was really strict. She didn't want me to leave town at all, and I had this awesome truck. I wanted to take it out. My friend and I decided, let's just make a fake invitation to a birthday party that's overnight. So I designed this full-on invitation, details, everything, planned this whole party that wasn't even going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and got to go to Dove Springs dirt biking for a night.
Pretty sweet. Why
did you? Smart.
Now I'm a graphic designer, so it kind of all stems from that.
It worked to your favor. But why did you do that instead of just saying, I'm going to go spend the night at so-and-so's house?
I don't know. Just she wouldn't go for that. She would want to verify that. The invitation seemed legit. It
all right.
Pass.
Respect.
All right. Well done. Yeah. I think we're saying well done, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Randy in Anaheim. Hi there.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to have you back, Dean.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, so when I was 3 years old, we grew up in Modesto, California, and I was with my grandmother. She was babysitting me while my mom was at work. So I guess she sent me out to the backyard. I was out there playing by myself, but apparently I was missing my mom. So I found my way out. I was 3 years old. I found my way out to the alley, down to one of the streets, and I had an idea where she worked. She was at a beauty salon about a mile away. And so I made it out to Carpenter Road, which is a major street in Modesto. And I was trucking down Carpenter by myself, 3 years old, going down the street. And a couple of girls in a car saw me, this three-year-old kid walking down the road. So they pulled over and picked me up, and I was able to show them where my mom's work was. So they drove me to her work. I pointed out the building, and then they came walking in. My mom looks outside and sees these two strange girls walking with me into her beauty salon.
And she's like, my son's got it going on.
Yeah, exactly. So they take
no, Kevin. No.
What?
God damn it.
No.
What?
Three.
It's not my story.
Not his story either.
I didn't do it.
Oh, yes. So they take me in. My mom calls my grandmother, and apparently my grandma, this has been a little while, too. She didn't even know I was missing. So
sweet.
Maybe that's why I left. Grandma wasn't giving me the attention I needed, I guess.
Grandma didn't care.
She was not the best choice to babysit a three-year-old. Tell you that. All right. Great stuff. Exactly. Thank you very much, Randy. Appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Anaheim. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. I'm in Redondo Beach.
Oh, sorry about that.
When I was in kindergarten, I ditched
school with a second grader. We went to the King's Harbor. We stole a boat, caught a fish, and there's an old store called J.J. Newberry's, and we started cooking the fish behind a trash can, and that's when the cops saw the smoke and picked us up. And my dad came and picked us up at the police department. When I was blaming it on the second grader, he goes, "Nope, you're the culprit."
Oh, man.
And then about the same time, I found about four or five marijuana plants, and I picked them out of the ground, walked home about a mile with them over my shoulder, put them in the oven, started curing them for my dad. And when my dad got home, I go, "Hey, Dad, found some marijuana." He's like, "Oh, awesome. Good job." And then in sixth grade, I got up on a Sunday morning, went to my junior high, and cut all the school bells. So on Monday morning, when it was supposed to ring for us to go to class, none of them rang.
You are a juvenile delinquent.
Wow. To be honest, Mike's got his game. He's on his game.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm a federal law enforcement officer now.
Yes.
Of course you are. Well done.
Because you know what to look for, of course. All right. Let's go to John in Huntington Beach. Hi, John.
Hi. Good morning. First time caller.
Thank you.
Hey. Yeah. So our family was relocating from back east California, and just my dad and I came out here. And so he'd work 16-hour days, and he'd send me to go grocery shop on my 10-speed and go to school in the rain and everything. And my mom's car was here parked in the garage. I was just tired of doing all this stuff and on my 10-speed, so I took my mom's car and started grocery shopping and using my mom's car to go to school. And so after a while, I just instead of riding the 10-speed at all for the next 2.5 months until summer, I just drove my mom's six-shift Toyota to school, picked up my friends. They would go walk to the corner, say they're going to grab the bus, and then they would jump in my car.
And you were how old again?
14.
14 okay. Years old.
Yeah. So I learned how to drive a six-shift early, you know,
sure.
Living back east. And so I was able to just drive it around. I got pulled over once, taking my buddy home. His bike was in the back, and a blanket was hanging out. So cops started following me. So, you know, like everyone does, try to take a bunch of turns, hoping he's going to not follow you.
Right.
And he finally lights me up, and I have an accent for back east. So I'm in my baseball uniform. And I just tell him, "Hey, I just moved here. I just got done with baseball. I don't have a license on me." And, you know, so.
And he let you go?
Yeah. I was a little bit bigger kid, you know. So he just said, he just goes, "Yeah, you know what? Just carry your license on you next time, and hurry it whenever you get a chance. Go to the DMV and get a California driver's license." So, you know, 2 years later, I did go to get a driver's license. But
when you were allowed to legally.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I just, and my parents never knew about it. Finally told them probably when I was maybe 21 or something that for 2.5 months after when we moved to California that I was taking my mom's car.
Yeah, you want to wait on that for a little while before you tell your parents. Thank you for the call. We have time for one more?
Sure.
Kenny and Corona, hi.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Morning.
So, I was 14. I went to an all-boys Catholic high school back east, and I found out one of the priests was going to be late for confessions for the whole school, basically.
So yes. Good.
So I kind of like snuck into the, you know, the confessional where the priest sits, and I started taking confessions of all the students and making notes.
Are you kidding? Making notes?
Oh, yeah. So I had dirt on people, and people I didn't like, I just make them go say the rosary instead of one Hail Mary or something like that.
Dang.
And then the priest busted me after about the 30th student, and I had to go.
30th?
I was on probation.
Wow.
Wow.
I kind of love that.
I think
it
you
was very interesting finding out certain things, what people did.
Oh,
that's an evil. I'm not sure I want to know. I like it.
Well,
it was fun.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Nothing new. That's the best part. Nobody knew because the priest was embarrassed.
Oh,
so
sure.
He
so
didn't announce
priest
that.
Wouldn't want to tell anyone, right?
So, but yeah, I was kind of mischievous.
That's pretty awesome.
A little bit.
You win. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
A lot of disappointed people today turning on the radio here. No Ted Stryker, by the way. Believe me, I know that. But we'll talk a little bit about where I've been. This is Bean speaking. Where I've been coming up just after 8. First Alley's here with what's happening on a Monday morning. Take it away.
Well, what's happening is this Friday, guys' night out. Oh, yeah. You are going to get to play poker. Is it poker?
It is.
It's poker with the guys at the Bike Casino. If you want information, go to www.thebike.com. But if you are caller 21 right now, because you have to be 21 or older, You are going to win a spot to play poker at one of the guys' table. That is happening this Friday again. Plus, you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200. And the table you will be playing at? Kevin's table.
Child, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Do you want to play at your table? Is that the table you want to be at?
Do they want to play at my table? Sure.
Okay. But you're pretty good, right?
I mean, I'm good for I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay.
I see what you're doing
I would
there.
Like them to sit down at the table and give me that $200.
That's
is what I'm telling
you. Want.
You.
Yeah. All right. So caller 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067.
I love Areola.
I believe he'll tell you all about his love for that. Now, Bean, was that a toll-free number that I just read?
Yes. Won't cost anything to dial
that. Okay, fantastic. Caller 21, 1-800-520-1067. You are going to sit at Kevin's table for K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday.
Girls welcome as well.
I mean, it's called
it's
Guys
poorly
Night
named.
Out.
I get it.
All right.
Girls welcome.
Remember this young little man, little 11-year-old Mason Ramsey, just posting up in the middle of a Walmart doing a little of this.
I'm already out.
So the video goes viral. People are losing their minds over this cute little kid. The remixes started. There was like EDM remixes, hip-hop remix. It was a lot of Yodel Boy. And then they brought him out on stage at Coachella. It was just a
It was
whole,
too much.
I believe you called it an assful.
I had an assful of a yodeler.
Yodel kid. Well, now he has a record deal. Atlantic Records and Big Loud signed Mason up. And he released his first single. It is called Famous.
Oops, sorry.
Whoa. Would you like to hear a little Famous?
Famous, yeah.
All right. Wow.
Where does he yodel? Right. Oh, that's Goat Whore. I'm sorry.
That is quite a departure.
I've got it, Kevin. I've got Famous here. Okay.
Whoopie dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee. Scoop dee whoop.
I bet whatever he released is better than that.
Again, that is not Yodel Boy Mason. That is Kanye West with a real song.
I think Bean's right. The kid's probably better than that.
Yeah.
All right, you want the real one?
I do. If I'm gonna be famous for something, I wanna be famous for loving you. If I'm gonna be known around the world, I wanna be 'cause of you, girl. Nothing wrong with the center of attention. Long as I'm with you, I don't mind the pictures. If I'm gonna be famous for something, girl, I wanna be famous for loving you.
Zero for effort. Zero for style. Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
What is he, seven?
He's 11, but I don't want you to be famous for loving me. You're famous for standing in Walmart yodeling.
Somebody that's 42 wrote that song, and now he's singing it.
That made me feel weird. I'm not going to lie.
It's just bad. Very bad. F minus.
Oh, F minus. That's
We don't
harsh.
Need a love song from 11
year old.
I don't think we do.
It's creepy.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
All right. Okay. How about the guys from NSYNC? They're getting a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame today. 1130 7080 Hollywood Boulevard near the corner of La Brea. By the way, they're joining other boy bands at that location, including Backstreet Boys, Boys to Men, New Kids on the Block, and New Edition. Ellen DeGeneres and Carson Daly will be on hand to help unveil the star. And Bean sent me some video of people, and we'll call them women because that's who's in the video.
Of course.
Lined up overnight to get a great view of them.
Overnight?
Overnight.
Are they performing?
I don't believe they are. Okay. I believe they're just going to stand there, wave, get their star. That's dedication, right?
Sure.
That's
one word.
One of us women is wearing what looks like a handmade dress out of NSYNC photos.
Yeah, that's a lot, right?
And she's a grown woman.
I mean, they're very popular still.
Right.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. That's some good stuff. I'm sure that Bean saw this, but Taylor Swift has a back room just for you. What?
Huh?
All right.
What's that?
She posted on Instagram over the weekend that a few lucky fans from each stop on her upcoming Reputation tour We'll get to meet Taylor after the show in a special rep room.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
With comfy chairs and a big snake right in the middle.
What?
What? What is happening in this back room, Bean?
I'll let you know.
Is she, she known for a snake for something?
Yeah. Well, oh, she, yeah.
That's the logo for the Reputation album.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're lucky enough, you get to go to her rep room. Sounds
Define lucky.
Sounds very curious, though, don't you think?
Sure.
And speaking of things we find out on Instagram, we found out that Amy Schumer has been hospitalized. She spent the better part of last week in the hospital following the opening of her new film, I Feel Pretty. The post shows her laying in the hospital bed hooked up to an IV, and she said she's been hospitalized for 5 days with a horrible kidney infection.
Wow.
Yeah, she posted the picture because she wanted to let people know that she would not be making the trip to Europe to plug I Feel Pretty. I guess she kind of needed proof, like, hey, guys, no, really.
Seriously, look at me.
In the bed with an IV, but she posted, I'm really disappointed selfishly to miss the trip because I love London and Europe in general and all the great people and food there, but I need to put my health first. That's no fun.
Right? Selfish?
I don't think we're saying that. I think we're saying that's why she didn't.
That's right.
Yeah. That's it. You want to hear a little Famous again?
No? Not really. If I'm gonna be famous for something, I wanna be famous for
loving you. If I'm gonna be known around the world, that's, I wanna be that's plenty. That's fine. Thank
Kids
you.
Are stupid.
Thank you.
I'm not going to disagree there. Some birthdays for you. Travis Scott, Gal Gadot. I like saying it like that because it's probably wrong. Diana Argon, Kirsten Dunst, Johnny Galecki, and Kunal Nayar. That's what's happening.
Ella McKay is here now. Hmm. Ella, you like the Miss Connections feature. Is that correct?
I really do.
Why?
Because it's fun to read about people that might have caught someone's eye in a car. They shared a moment. Maybe that person is looking for them as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe you had a great conversation, then just didn't have the
balls,
you know, cojones to, right. to then ask for that person's number. Maybe they're reading the Miss Connections too, saying, oh, that's me.
That's right? So romantic.
Yeah.
Now the bad man hasn't taken away Miss Connections yet on Craigslist. There's no more personals, right, as I understand it.
Thank you for mentioning that, Bean, because that has changed a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I was thinking about you. You know, I was out, as we've been talking about, and mm-hmm. I was thinking when that rule came down and they pulled all the personals, they're trying to combat sex trafficking, I was thinking, how is Allie ever going to meet anyone now?
Well, I will tell you, it has changed the way I look at Miss Connections.
Okay.
It has obviously changed the way people are posting. Mm-hmm. In Miss Connections, and that is why this time, this is going to be how not to post in Miss Connections.
Okay, all right.
Here we
go. Listen up, kids.
Oh, yeah. And now it's time for Miss Connections with Allie McKay.
Yeah, so as Bean mentioned, the company on Craigslist took down the personals. That has greatly affected the way people are going about Miss Connections. It's not okay. But just to give you a sense of why I got into this, the OG posting, I've read it before, but it bears repeating. This one got me and, dare I say, all of you into Miss Connections.
Take it easy, but go ahead.
You were the tall brunette with a near-perfect body that farted in the bread section last night. I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, was that you? You quickly replied, no, it wasn't me. You almost seemed insulted, I would ask. As the stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulence, but it was evident. I tried to get rid of the stench by waving two loaves of ciabatta bread. You proceeded to storm off in an angry manner. You're beautiful. Even if you're a liar and fart like a Clydesdale, I'd love to meet up sometime. Specific to the point, the woman reading that is going to be like, it was me. I still didn't fart, but it was me. They can then get in touch.
Sure.
It has changed.
Do you
like
think
I
they
said.
Did? Do you think they got in touch?
I hope so. I believe in love still.
I do too, Bean. I do too. Here's where we're at now on Miss Connections. Location, airport, by luggage. We talked for a moment. I regret not asking your name. Okay, what airport? What luggage? Can you be a little more specific, sir? Or ma'am? I don't even know who you are. Unbelievable. Here's someone that's completely wasting my time.
Okay.
To my beautiful female neighbor on Mariposa. You live right across the apartment building in Koreatown. I see you sometimes. You have beautiful curly hair. You look like you're mixed with Hispanic or black. Very pretty skin, curly hair. You were the most beautiful lady I've ever seen. I wish you were my friend. Long shot, but giving it a try. Long shot, walk across the goddamn courtyard.
Seems like he's taking a long way around.
My God.
Why is he typing this just to freaking Craigslist?
What? You're wasting my time.
Right.
Well, you have pointed out in the past that the purpose of Missed Connections is you saw a person one time on a train. It's not somebody you live across the street from.
Thank you. Again, you work at Ralph's on La Brea, Monday through Friday. Me, customer, I also have weekends off. What are the chances that you see this and get in touch? Fingers crossed. What are the chances? You know where she works Monday through Friday.
You can plan it. You can check it out. You can check her out every day. What's happening
with
these people?
Make a goddamn effort is what I'm saying. And then this one. I mean, just double check it before you hit send, right?
All right.
Hippie girls checking out long-haired guy on 420 Venice Beach. Okay. All right. We're doing okay.
So far, so good.
You were two chill hippie girls, obviously very wake and bake, giggling your lungs out. We all checked each other out. We should chill and road trip, just three of us. One big happy fam. You thought I look like I'm music biz because I'm the white guy, 5'11", long wavy brown hair. Hair Zep vibe. Throw in some goddamn punctuation. What is this? Would it kill you? A comma? A period? Something? I mean...
Do you really think the stoned chicks on Venice on 420 are looking for punctuation, Alex?
I don't know. It seems like a run-on sentence to me.
The whole thing. My God. But from what I got out of it, he's 5'11".
Uh-huh.
He has long, wavy brown hair.
Right.
With a Zeppelin vibe.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They thought he was in the music business.
Right.
Okay. But I had to really concentrate to figure that out. I shouldn't have to concentrate as I'm reading these, is what I'm saying. But then we have this. He redeemed it for me.
Okay.
Super specific. Hi, you're blonde, wearing workout gear, walking a little white dog on Main Street, Ocean Park. Around 10 p.m. on Wednesday, the 4th of April. Okay, right? There was a guy playing loud Michael Jackson on a boombox across the street next to Surf Liquors. We both exchanged a glance and a smile, and I said, I need the entertainment. And you smiled and said, right? I found you attractive. If you see this, maybe let's connect. Chat a little. Happy to share pics once you reply. Okay, this guy's name is Adrian. He had exactly where, exactly what time.
What was said.
What was said. Talks about your dog. Excellent, excellent work. Be more like Adrian, is what I'm saying. But then this woman, who didn't even see this guy, but still specific in what he left, and she respects him.
Okay.
Hi. You left your 36 value pack of condoms and your organic multigrain whole wheat bread at my farmer's market table this past Saturday. You included the receipt for the condoms, which both shocked and delighted me. I had no idea condoms were this expensive. Shocked. Because although these look like really good ones, they set you back almost $40. Delighted, because if no one claims them, I'm going to exchange them for four tubes of Maybelline Great Lash Mascara. It's a true classic, and maybe some sunscreen. She then puts in, if you come back, I'm going to give you your condoms back, and then maybe we meet up. I love this woman.
All right.
So she's putting in a correct misconnection, yet she didn't even see the guy she's trying to connect with.
Yeah, that's going above and beyond the Call of Duty right there.
That is what I'm saying. Here's the thing. If y'all don't step up your misconnections, I'm going to stop reading them.
Wow.
Do you want that?
You're bringing
the heat.
Do you
want that, you guys? Be more like Adrian and Maybelline Great Lash Girl is what I'm saying.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Jake Tapper from CNN coming on just after the top of the hour.
Oh, he's so dreamy. Am I wrong?
No, but... he might be listening, and that's a creepy intro.
That even makes him dreamier then.
Mm.
Hey, not only that, how about this? Tickets in the first five rows to be with us for the K-Rock Weenie Rose, which is coming up fast on Saturday, May 12th at StubHub Center. Tickets on sale now through Access.com, but if you want to be there for free in the first five rows.
In the fifth row, specifically.
We'll give you those tickets coming up in moments here on K-Rock. First, though, Allie's got what's happening for Monday.
Well, what's happening is Avengers Infinity Wars Yeah, debuted not a bad opening. Oh, yeah, it set the record for the biggest opening weekend ever with an estimated take just over $250 million. Yeah, that beat the current champ, which was Star Wars The Force Awakens. They had pulled in $248 million in its opening weekend back in 2015.
The theater was packed, as you can imagine, and there was a 12, 13-year-old, I'm guessing, mm-hmm. that just went straight snoozing, just fell right asleep.
No.
And I was like, what does it take to keep a kid awake? That nonstop action from the beginning to the end.
Wow.
Loud, you know, which
yeah,
I love.
Sure.
Fighting, action, everything. And he was just...
My God.
Like a 12, 13-year-old. I kept kicking his seat.
You did?
Yes, wake
you
up.
You were mad.
I was.
Angry at this child. Maybe this was his break. I mean, he's got a lot of stress. This was his time to really take a snooze.
Could be.
I'm just saying, let the kid live.
All right.
What is it like being part of one of the biggest comic book movies to hit the scene in the longest time?
Good question.
Great question. Yes. Again, coming in at number one in the box office, $250 million, followed by A Quiet Place, I Feel Pretty, Rampage, Black Panther, still in the top five, brought in another $4.4 million this weekend. Super Troopers 2, Truth or Dare, Blockers, Ready Player One, and Traffic rounding out the top 10. You're lucky you weren't at a afternoon viewing on Friday in Redlands. This happened at the Harkins Mountain Grove 16 Theaters, where the movie ended and then panic ensued when a man decided that was the time that he would stand up and start preaching.
Oh.
One of the witnesses said, I think when he said, if you were to die tonight, would your passage to heaven be guaranteed? Something along those lines. And that's when people started panicking.
Maybe
people,
not in a movie theater.
Good
you bring up dying
Lord,
tonight.
Lord, of all places, what wow. is wrong with you? So people started running towards the exit. People started tripping. There were ankles that were turned. People hit their head. Bad situation out there in Redlands. And the culprit, a 28-year-old preacher named Michael Weber, who said, last night was an anomaly. The lights didn't turn up for quite a few minutes. And so I couldn't see anyone's real reaction except those of the people right next to me. So they couldn't tell that I had my hands up and I wasn't armed. It's pitch black. They just watched a movie. Why are you preaching the word of the Lord?
Right. It's a movie. Shut the F up.
By the way, the reason the lights don't come up yet is because, especially with Marvel movies, you got to stay to the end of the credits.
For sure. For sure.
Wow.
He said, if you're going to, or somebody said, if you're going to try to draw people towards the Bible, maybe that's not the way to do it. And he said that even though he was charged with a misdemeanor, this will not deter him from doing it. But he may reconsider the setting. So he might not do it in movies anymore.
I feel like that's probably a good choice.
Just look for him in Walgreens.
Good Lord, sir. I mean, use your head. Right?
Right.
Who's with me? So we were just talking about the guys from NSYNC, Lance Bass, J.C. Chassé, Joey Fatone, Chris Kilpatrick, and of course, Justin Timberlake getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This morning at 11:30 at 7080 Hollywood Boulevard near the corner of La Brea, CBS has video of people that were lined up overnight and being incredulous, saying, it looks like some woman is wearing a dress made of NSYNC pictures. I mean, what a
That's
loser,
ridiculous.
Right? And a very astute woman, we'll call her producer Christine, came in with a picture of Bean with a shirt made fully of Taylor Swift's face.
Yay!
That Bean is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bean, you're calling out a lady who's lined up to see them at least get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You were just wearing that shirt all willy-nilly.
That is really a fair point.
Yeah?
In Bean's defense, you're right.
That's all we got?
I'm afraid I'm with you on this one.
Okay. All right. Now to turn it all back around and make Bean so happy. ABBA, reuniting, recording two new songs, I Still Have Faith in You. That's going to be released in December. The four original members, their names again, Bean?
Well, you got Benny, mm-hmm. and you got Bjorn, mm-hmm. and you got Frida, mm-hmm. and Agnetha.
Sure. They released a statement, quote,
Agnetha is a terrible name.
Really? After some 35 years, it could be fun to join forces again and go into the recording studio. So we did. What?
I have a clip if you want to hear.
Oh, do we?
Oh, new ABBA?
Oh, yeah. It's not supposed to be released till December,
no,
but
just,
sure.
It's a tiny clip.
Okay.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Going a different direction.
Wow, they really are. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to cover Shaggy after 35 years being off the scene?
I have the other song, two new songs. Oh, yeah, okay. I have a little bit of the brand new ABBA here on K-Rock.
Boopy dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee scoop dee whoop.
Again,
whoopy dee scoop whoop poop.
They have not lost a step.
That is real, and that is new Kanye West, you guys.
For reals.
For reals.
I know it sounds ridiculous.
Oof.
And it is ridiculous,
good
but it's Kanye.
Lord.
He's the best, right?
I don't. With the. Nope. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Travis Scott, actress Gal Gadot, Kirsten Dunst, Johnny Galecki, and Kunal Nayar. That's what's happening.
I know there's a lot of people that want me to talk about Russia and Putin and collusion, but I'm not going to do that because there's also a lot of liberal media here, and I've never really wanted to know what any of you look like when you orgasm. Except maybe you, Jake Tapper. I bet it's something like this. Okay, that's all the time we have.
So, Jake Tapper, you're just out for an evening with your colleagues at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You don't expect to have your orgasms called out from the stage.
No. I'm not expecting that. At this point, I do expect to be made fun of from the podium. It's been going on now for several years. But that was one, that was an avenue I was not anticipating.
Did not see that coming.
My wife was laughing very hard. Disconcertingly
maybe
hard.
Too hard.
Disconcertingly hard at that joke.
Please weigh in as a person who was in the room. We saw it on television. But how did Michelle Wolf go over there at the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Well, I think she has said that she wasn't playing to the room. And I think that was
pretty obvious.
That was pretty obvious that she wasn't playing to the room. She was trying to say what she wanted to say, make a stand about what she wanted to make a stand about. And there were moments of silence, although I'm sure people in the resistance and elsewhere were laughing and clapping a lot harder than in the room. But look, she came to do what she came to do. I mean, I would put her performance in the same category as Colbert's performance, I think, in 2006, when Stephen Colbert did his routine that again, did not play very well in the room. But
we still remember it.
But people remember it, and people thought it was heroic for what it was.
Is there an over-the-line possibility in that room, or no?
Definitely in the room. But, you know, I have to say that, and look, I get people objecting to some of the jokes that she told. I mean, she is an edgy comedian. She was a risky pick, a dangerous pick. I was there, by the way, the year after the Colbert year when they had Rich Little do it, and which was, you know, about as benign a performance as you could get.
And dull?
Yeah, he kept on reminding people that he was not a comedian. He kept on saying, I'm an impressionist, not comedian. I'm not really sure why you picked me to do this event. So I understand why people might be offended. And I'm not the comedy police, so I'm not going to weigh in on my personal opinion. I mean, I laughed at some jokes. I didn't laugh at others. But I will say this. We've been trying to have a conversation on my show, The Lead, on CNN, about decency and about what is acceptable in the public sphere and what is not acceptable. And we've been trying to talk about this for several years now, 2 or 3 years. And if people at the Trump White House now want to join this conversation about what's decent and what's not decent to say about people, I welcome them to this conversation. They've got a little catching up to do about things that have been said in the public sphere for the last 2 or 3 years, whether it's talking about women's appearances or whether it's making fun of people with disabilities or making fun of people who have alcohol and drug dependency issues or minorities or whatever. So we've got a lot of catching up to do, but I'm sure we can work our way through and get to Saturday night's performance by Michelle Wolf. But we have a few other speeches to talk about.
You do. In a nutshell, Jake, that is exactly where we're at in this country, where everything is filtered through a partisan lens, and it's paralyzed us, hasn't it?
I think so. I fear so. Because, I mean, one time I remember a Democratic congressman, made a rather obscene joke about Kellyanne Conway, and I asked Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi about it, and she didn't condemn it. I mean, it just there's decency and there's indecency. And I think most Americans don't look at it through a partisan lens. Most people say, you know what, that's crossing the line. You shouldn't say that, even if you don't like Kellyanne Conway, even if you don't like Sarah Sanders, even if you don't like Mika Brzezinski, even if, I mean, on and on and on and on.
Right, right.
But so many people view it through a partisan lens, and I can't even fathom what that looks like.
I assume that you take a lot of crap from both sides.
All the time. All the time.
The left thinks you're the right thinks you're the left.
The Obama, yeah, I was the Obama years. I was a right wing hack. I mean, I was constantly, I was constantly derided as a right wing hack and heralded by the Breitbarts of the world. And now, of course, everyone's changing partners, and it's completely the opposite.
Well, that means you're doing it right then.
I
if
hope.
People can't figure out which side you're on, and
hope.
you're registered independent, correct?
Yes, yes. I don't see either party as correct
or good.
No, not really.
Me neither. I'm with you.
No. Is it a lot less fun to do your job now than it was 5 years ago, Jake?
You know, it's kind of mixed because I would say, first of all, journalism has never been more important because of what is going on in terms of the White House and the fact that Congress really isn't doing its legislative oversight duties. I mean, they're supposed to be providing oversight that they're not doing, and the Washington Post and the New York Times and CNN and others are doing it. But by the same token, you know, look, I got attacked in very nasty, very personal ways during the Obama years from the left. But what we're seeing now from Trump supporters is just beyond. I mean, the anti-Semitism and the racism and the it's exhilarating in some ways, but it's also exhausting.
It has to be exhausting just from a standpoint of you have a show planned.
Oh, yeah.
For that day. Yeah. And then it all changes by the time you go on the air.
He likes to provide news.
He really does.
President Trump likes to make news.
Let me ask you a question about that. Is it possible that he's smart enough to realize, I know Allie's already shaking
People
her head
shaking
now,
their heads, yeah.
That
yeah.
most things that politicians do, they would get pinned down for, and some of them, it would take them down. He's already said five other offensive things so that you can't really, he's a moving target.
I think that...
Is he smart that way?
I think that he is media savvy.
You do?
I do. I think that I think he does things to change the conversation or to change the subject. Absolutely, I do. And I think he loves, you know, in a way that he probably did when he was a private citizen and he didn't get the same responses, to say something outrageous and then just see what happens.
Right.
I think absolutely he loves to do that. And I think, you know, we don't have a choice but to cover it. We can't ignore it. He's the president of the United States. So, absolutely. But that said, I think a lot of times the things he says and does are completely self-destructive and undermine his case. I had Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, Republican Senator Lankford of Oklahoma, on my show yesterday. We were talking about a whole bunch of serious issues. And at the end, I just asked, you know, there are a number of Republican senators who have not said they will back President Trump in 2020. Where do you come down? He said he endorsed President Trump for 2020, but then made a point of saying that he does not want his children to behave like President Trump, like he raised it on his own. This is a very, you know, he's a very devout Christian and he's a very serious man about morality and the like. And he felt the need to say that. And there's no upside for him to say that. I mean, he represents Oklahoma. Trump's going to win Oklahoma by 50 points or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do think that there is President Trump, by his behavior and his crossing lines of truth and decency, he undermines himself when he could be theoretically cruising to reelection victory. And as of right now, who knows what's going to happen?
Were you aware before this presidency that you had the ultimate resting bitch face?
No, I was not. I was not. I mean, I think, you know, I know that the Obama press people would have described me in pejorative terms, mm-hmm. as well, but and they didn't particularly like my mug or the expressions I made. I mean, but that said, no. I mean, I guess this is just my face. I'm not making any. I'm not doing anything on purpose.
I read an article that was entitled "Jake Tapper Can't Control His Face."
This is just my face. People who know me know when they see my expressions become a meme online or on Twitter or whatever, people who know me know, like, that's just my face. That's just I get that expression. My kids are like, that's what daddy looks like when he doesn't believe me when I say I didn't hit my little brother. You know, that's just daddy's face.
Let me ask one more question before the break, and then when we come back, we will talk about the reason Jake is here, which is to talk about his outstanding new book, The Hellfire Club, and we'll get into all that in a minute. But I have to ask, what is more likely in your view, President Trump's re-election in 2020 or the Eagles win another Super Bowl in your lifetime?
I think the Eagles are definitely going to win another Super Bowl in my lifetime. I mean, that's I don't know what's going to happen with President Trump. If I've learned anything, it's don't make predictions about President Trump. He is unpredictable, but the Eagles look fantastic.
No, you're going to have to go. I'm sorry, we're out of time.
They just drafted a guy who's never played football this weekend.
You know,
you
I don't know if you know this, but when you win the Super Bowl, you don't get a good draft pick.
What? Correct. Yes. All right. Jake Tapper is our guest. This is fun. We'll be right back with more on K-Rock.
Jake Tapper from CNN is here in studio. Are you looking forward to interviewing Kanye in 2020?
I'm looking for
the debates.
Moderating the presidential. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's 2020 or 2024, but Kanye versus Oprah. I'm reading up on it, everything right now. I'm reading up on everything. I'm getting ready.
Jake is a CNN's chief Washington correspondent. He is the anchor of The Lead, Jake Tapper, weekday afternoons, and, of course, the host of the State of the Union program on Sunday morning. So you had a busy weekend. So you were at the White House Correspondents' Center Saturday night.
Yep.
Then you did your own show on CNN Sunday and then flew out here?
That's exactly right.
Doing our mutual friend Jimmy Kimmel show tonight.
We'll do Jimmy Kimmel tonight and some other things. Obviously, stop here at K-Rock. I have a book, a novel that just came out last week, The Hellfire Club, and I'm trying to get the word out.
This is so in my wheelhouse, Jake. I can't wait to read this book. Tell folks a little bit. First of all, The Hellfire Club is not a term you made up. That's a thing, right?
Yeah, it was a secret society in England in the 1700s, really debaucherous, disgusting, vile activities, sexual and alcoholic in nature. With the elite of England, royalty and business people. Ben Franklin made an appearance. And so the conceit of the book is that there are secret societies in Washington, D.C., where shady things happen. And it takes place in 1954. The hero of the book is a World War II veteran turned congressman and his strong zoologist wife. They come to Washington. They get swept up in a conspiracy. But the stuff that was really fun to write was having real-life people from that era interact with my fictional characters. So McCarthy and the Kennedys and Eisenhower interacting with my invented people.
It's really well-written.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, I saw someplace that you were more nervous about this one and the reception for this one than you have been about any of your other books.
Well, because this is my first fiction. The previous ones were nonfiction. I did a book called The Outpost about Afghanistan, about a combat outpost in Afghanistan. And those were more emotional experiences to write because they were true stories and sad stories.
But ultimately, they weren't your stories.
They weren't my stories,
right.
Exactly. They were the stories of men and women in battle and their families. And so that was a much more emotionally taxing experience to write. This is more nerve-wracking because it's all me. So if somebody hates it, they hate something that I worked on and made up. But if somebody didn't like my book on The Outpost, they still were respectful of the stories of the soldiers.
Sure.
Nothing was too hard.
Our friend Brad Meltzer, who is a good friend of yours as well, sent me USA Today's review and highlighted that you were channeling your inner Brad Meltzer. He highlighted that part. He said, bring that up during the interview. But then he then said, I wish I could channel your hair. So, I mean, that's got to feel good.
Well, he doesn't have any hair, so I'll take that compliment as it is. Brad's such a good guy. He's such a, I mean, like, theoretically a competitor, although not really, obviously, because he's such a master storyteller. And then he's the one, when I was talking to him about just seeking advice on how mm-hmm. do you publicize a book, how do you publicize a novel, he said, you got to go to K-Rock. And he actually wrote an email connecting you and me.
He wrote the pitch to have you on.
That is so sweet.
Unbelievable.
Such a good guy. So my main message is buy my book, and then my secondary message is buy Brad Meltzer's book.
Got it. But definitely second.
Now, Jake, I think I know the answer to this, but because you started writing The Hellfire Club so long ago, you had no idea that by the time it was published, we'd be living it in real life, right?
I will say that certain parts of it that I was writing in 2017, I played up a little bit because we were in the Trump era. I mean, there's most of the book would have been the same if Hillary Clinton had won. But I did, you know, when you read up about the 1950s, you know, there's a saying, I don't know who said it. The quote investigator can't find out the actual author, but history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And when I was researching this book and researching the McCarthy era and reading about an out-of-control Republican who would say outrageous things and lie and smear and the Republican Party and the media and the Democratic Party and people really didn't know how to deal with it, I heard a lot of rhyming. I heard a lot of rhyming about Joe McCarthy living in the Trump era. Obviously, Trump and McCarthy are very different, and Trumpism and McCarthyism are not the same thing at all. But, you know, the president smears, and he says things that aren't true. He lies. And so and people in Washington are still trying to figure out how to react to it. So mm-hmm. there is some resonance.
There are a lot of people who were complicit in the rise of both men.
Yeah.
And one of the big picture things that people have been saying lately is, how are we going to feel about this when your kids learn where you were during this time or what you did with this time? Are you going to look back on your career in journalism and those of the other journalists and think that you guys did enough to stop it?
Look, I think there's always room for improvement, and there's always room for criticism. But I think about my kids all the time. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. I think about them all the time when I think about how I'm covering this administration. And look, I don't take a position on policy debates. I don't take a position on tax bills or immigration or the wall or North Korea. I just cover that the way I would cover anything. But, you know, I think that people in news should take a stand on facts and truth. And I think that it's okay to take a stand on decency. I think it's okay to say it's not acceptable to make fun of somebody with disabilities or to make fun of women's appearances, whether it's done by a comedian or more importantly, by the president of the United States. I mean, I think that those are things that it's okay to take a stand on. And I do think about my kids and how are they going to read about this era, and what did Daddy say on such a date? And I hope that they'll be able to look back and be proud.
You're sort of winging it so much because stuff is changing and happening so much. I mean, do you criticize yourself and think, oh, I wish I would have thought of that when I was talking?
All the time. There's nobody, believe me, even though the Breitbarts of the world exist, there's nobody more critical of myself than me. And boy, I wish I had done this more or done this better. And just to bring it back to Joe McCarthy for a second, one of the things that was so fascinating reading this, I read a biography of Joe McCarthy that was written in 1952 by the legendary journalist Jack Anderson. And one of the things he had a whole chapter in there about how the media let Joe McCarthy rise. And we did the media, I say we, even though I wasn't alive at the time, we didn't cover the, you know, as if there wasn't empirical fact, as if things he was saying that were not true could be debated. And then once we covered him without doing what we needed to be doing, the media at the time, then McCarthy turned around and started attacking us when we started providing coverage that was more critical. And it just was like, you know, we didn't learn the lesson from the 50s with McCarthy, with Trump. I mean, the president, again, I'm not talking about his policy proposals or ideas, but the things that the media should have taken more of a stand on, such as the lies. Mm-hmm. We didn't do a good enough job with President Trump's rise.
He's winning the battle of delegitimizing you as well.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, there was a poll recently that showed that a majority of Republican voters think that the press is the enemy of the American people. I mean, it's just shocking.
Good night, everybody.
Signing off from the world. Bye-bye now.
Well, Jake, it's a miracle that you're able to do the job that you do 6 days a week, raise a family, and still have time to write this book that is just getting rave reviews. I can't wait to read it. It's available everywhere. Books are sold online and in-store. It's called The Hellfire Club. And are you off this week on CNN?
No. I'll be doing my show from the Los Angeles Bureau and then appearing on Kimmel, and then I'll be taking the red eye back, and I'll be back on air from Washington.
Trying to kill yourself?
I am trying to kill myself.
I am exhausted. Well, listen, thanks a lot for coming by. It was really, really fun. You're welcome anytime.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Boopy dee scoop, scoop dee dee whoop.
Never forget, you guys.
Scoop dee poop, poop dee scoop dee, scoop dee whoop.
I don't want a minute to go by that we're not all aware that exists from Kanye West.
That is a new song that is real from Kanye West.
That's right.
It's a real thing.
It sure is. It's not. It's not Frankie the weatherman in Canada. It's actually Kanye West. Let's hear a little bit more of that, shall we?
Whoopy dee scoop whoop poop, poop dee dee whoop scoop. Poop.
Okay. Hey,
I'll never forget.
Because baby, I'm awesome.
Right.
Also, I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Kanye 2024.
Right.
Remember the Jake Tapper times?
I do.
Remember those? Remember when Omar made us a bet?
Oh, I totally forgot.
On Friday before we left, he said, whoever says to Jake Tapper the words, tap that ass, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you $100. How'd we all forget?
Totally forgot. And I identified right when he came in, I was like, this is the type of guy who would take that and roll with it and
right.
be fine with it?
Right.
And then I forgot.
What were you going to say? How would you work in tap that ass?
I was going to say, watch his show on CNN at 1 p.m. It's called Tap That Ass. Just as a joke. And then he'd go, oh, that's not it. And then Omar would have to give me $100.
Oh, man.
So lame.
That's just
leaving money on the table right
Right?
Now.
That's what I'm saying.
Damn it.
We need to be better.
Agreed.
We need to get our ass together.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
That's true. Katy Perry, hanging out with the Pope. What?
What?
She attended the United to Cure event at the Vatican last Saturday and brought Orlando Bloom. They got to hobnob with Pope Francis. Katy spoke about her personal experience with transcendental meditation. She says she uses it to relieve stress and anxiety, jet lag, and thinks it can cure hangovers as well.
Hmm.
What kind of weird TED Talk was this in front of the Pope? I don't know, but I don't hate it. I really, really do.
You mentioned earlier that Katy visited the Vatican with Orlando Bloom. Mm-hmm. Are they still a thing?
They seem to be back together. They're together a lot. There are reports of them together a lot. And they hadn't really come right out and said it, but apparently on American Idol, one of the country guy on the show,
doesn't matter. Go ahead.
The not Blake Shelton,
right?
From The Voice, he wound up trying to hook her up with one of the contestants, and she said during that show, "I am very much spoken for."
Very much spoken for.
Apparently, it's real, and they are back together.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl. Is it possibly Luke Bryan? Does that sound like it might be the guy who's an American Idol judge?
Sure.
Okay.
Right. I mean.
That's fine.
Who cares?
It's as fine as any.
Right? Country Mc...
That's
Countryman. Right. I was going to say the beginning of country and then stir at the end, but then I realized that's a bad word.
That is a bad word. Right.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. Meanwhile, guilty verdict in the Bill Cosby trial, and Temple University has taken back the honorary doctorate that they awarded him back in 1991, as well as a slew of other colleges revoking his honorary degrees as well. Wellesleyan, Notre Dame, Boston College, Johns Hopkins, Carnegie Mellon University, all taken back those honorary degrees. Whew, way to make a stand, colleges. That is.
My point is, okay, listen to me carefully.
Okay.
I'm telling you where the road is out.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'm telling you where, as you're driving, you're going to go into water. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message?
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Yeah, that was his defense, and it did not work.
Yeah, it didn't stick. Not
pretty
good.
Solid. I'm surprised.
Really?
Sure.
Interesting. So Tommy Lee is quickly discovering it's not so easy to date a millennial. His fiance, right? They're engaged, Brittany Ferland.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's 23 years older than her. This will be his fourth marriage. But Brittany admits that, quote, she never realized how much I was on my phone until they hooked up. And Tommy is teaching her all about the value of being present.
Oh, that's sweet.
That is beautiful.
Yes.
That's right from the horse's mouth right there. And are you ready for another Annabelle?
Yes.
Yeah, that's that porcelain doll possessed by demonic forces. Not scary at all. Terrifying, really, is what she is. The original made $84 million. The budget, $6.5 million. So I'd say that was a good payoff?
A success.
So then they made another one. That one cost $15 million to make. So, I mean, double what the original cost. That one made... Okay, $102 million.
Okay.
Also good?
Also great.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah. So, of course, they're making a third one. How
that bananas.
That's what I'm saying, Tommy. Don't you think they should make one like every 3 months?
With
this kind of money? That's just insanity.
And don't worry, guys. It's looking like a third movie as well for Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
You are all going to die tonight.
Again, no. Alexis Bledel talked about it during an appearance on Jimmy Fallon. She didn't reveal any details about the plot, but she said that we have pitched the third movie. Those pants,
oh,
right?
They travel, huh?
They get around all those places.
Pants or something with the traveling and the places.
Never saw it?
Nope.
Okay. Would you see it?
I love you so much. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
You rip.
Yeah, he was steering a boat with his pee-pee during that. I believe. I mean, that's what I understand happened in the porno.
Sure, you didn't
see
it.
Wow, I knew right away, didn't I, that that was the boat.
Uh-huh.
Michelle Pfeiffer is joining Angelina Jolie in Disney's upcoming live-action sequel for the movie Maleficent. In the latest installment, Angelina will be back in the title role, and Michelle will be playing a queen in the film. By the way, that movie grossed $760 million worldwide.
Again, a success.
In 2014. Mm-hmm. Again, right. A success.
Yes.
That's just insanity. Who's with me? And if you missed it earlier, the Yodel Kid. We love him. He's
Do we?
Great.
Do we love
just
him? Is he great?
11-year-old little boy named Mason Ramsey just decided in the middle of Walmart one day, put on his little cowboy hat, had his boots, and just yodeled the hell out of it. I mean, he's really getting into it now.
It's an 11-year-old who's into Hank Williams, by the way. That's a surprise.
Yeah, well, he's into it. He then went on a ton of remixes. People were bringing him out at Coachella. This kid was everywhere. Ellen DeGeneres, everywhere you turn. Little Mason Ramsey. Well, now he has a recording contract. Atlantic Records and Big Loud signed Mason. And there is now a song that he just released on Thursday. It is called Famous. Here's Mason. Oh, yeah.
Really stepping it up from the yodel.
Yeah.
Right,
that wasn't it. That was
that
not.
Wasn't it.
That was not 11-year-old Mason Ramsey.
If I'm gonna be famous for something, I wanna be famous for loving you. If I'm gonna be known around the world, I wanna be 'cause of you, girl. Nothing wrong with the center of attention. Long as I'm with you, I don't mind the pictures. If I'm gonna be famous for something, girl, I wanna be famous for loving you.
He's 11.
I think, yeah.
He's 11.
It makes me feel icky. I don't want him talking about loving a woman. And
he is a dick.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but kid, you're famous for yodeling in a Walmart. Let's keep
it
real.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
Again, I don't think that is true at all, but he's famous for... They had a fish named Abraham. I don't know how that worked out, lady. That was different strokes.
He's
but...
the man who invented Booyah.
Oh, possibly. Do we know if that's true?
We don't. We haven't checked.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I don't think that's necessary. He is 11, and he is a delightful young boy. But
it's
maybe...
funny because he is fat.
He isn't, and it wouldn't matter if he was. But this is just taking a lot of turns. Want some birthdays?
All good. Sure.
All right. Travis Scott, Gal Gadot, Kirsten Dunst, Johnny Galecki, Kunal Nayar, Raj, Big Bang Theory. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie.
Happening. Happening.
Sally, the SoCal Happen. Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we've got your tickets in the fourth row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and comedian Frank Caliendo joins us as well.